Everybody's week was better than mine, I tell you that. This heat has been really tremendous out here, you know. I just wanted to speak upon a few things that, you know how I am. I'm always praying about the people in the world and what's going on in the world. And, you know, just wish things would get better, but we know that's not possible. We can only keep the real within us, you know, and I feel like the reason why a lot of this is happening because we are losing obedience. We're losing the love of God. We're losing our patience. Patience is a main factor when you're talking about dealing with God. Because if you don't have patience, then where is your obedience? If you don't have obedience, where is your love? You know, in order for us to continue on to travel the path that God has laid before us, we must have these three sources within our souls. Those are the main ones that have brought me to the point where I am now, since a little child up to where I am now. I started out, me and my sister, we was walking down the street one day, and she told me, she said, "Charles, it's a God out there." I said, "A God?" And she said, "Yes, it's a God out there." I said, "Well, you know what? I always felt like it was somebody or some being out there watching over us." I mean, we was like 6, maybe 7 years old, just walking around, you know, just talking and everything, you know. And there have been a lot of things that have happened to me over the course of my life from that time. It's like the devil was just trying to say, you know, I'm just going to try to do things to him that going to curb his appetite for wanting to learn more about God. But my appetite was too great. Even at the age, at that age, my appetite was too great. You know, I tried to keep a decent sense of mind, you know, because as I continued to grow and everything and walk with God, the devil was constantly attacking me. I mean, I call it fiery darts, which I started reading the Bible at about 12 years old. And to learn about myself, you know, you find yourself in the Bible if you really read it. Everybody in here, I'm sure when you read the Bible for the first time, you found yourself in it. I found myself in it. A lot of people telling me you can find yourself in that book. I didn't believe them. But then as I continue to read, I look back and I said, "Whoa, that's me. It's like the book is talking about me." You know, so I just kept on reading and kept on reading to come to learn that if we don't do, thus saith the Lord, things can go wishy-washy for us. I mean, I put it in these terms because this is the way that I talk at times. You know, I just try to bring a little humor to it or, you know, because the things that are going on, we need a little humor every now and then. You know, we need a little humor to see us through, you know, to keep us on the right path. I love God, number one. He have me doing things that I didn't think I could do. I come to the point of loving God even more when I seen how other people's was with him and everything. And I was just like, "You say you into God, but I'm not here to judge you, but that doesn't look good." This is when I was younger. But as I grew older, I started learning that I can't judge nobody. I'm not here to judge anybody. If anything, I'm here to help those who want to learn get themselves on the right path to learn. And the point I'm making about obedience is in the book of Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter, 26 and 28. And it said, "Look, today I'm giving you the choice between a blessing and a curse." You know, there are two sides to everything. And he said a blessing and a curse. Either it's going to be for good or it's going to be for bad. We were just talking about that. "You will be blessed if you obey the command of the Lord." That's the only way you're going to be blessed, if you obey his commandments. "Your God that I am giving you today, but you will be cursed if you reject the commands of the Lord your God and turn away from him." See, when you turn away from him, he takes that hedge out from around you, especially if he see you not coming back no time soon. If you don't stop falling on your knees and praying and asking God to forgive you for certain things that you've done, he's going to take that hedge out around you and let the devil have his way with you. This is what I found out. Everybody's walk is different with God because he's taken me from a town like Atlanta, Georgia. He has brought me over on a freight train from Atlanta all the way up through Texas, Chicago, Illinois. I've rode these things. Now, when I first started, God came to me and told me, he said, Charles C. Brown, Jr., the town in which you love so dearly, Atlanta, Georgia, if you don't leave it soon, you're going to die here. I'm like, well, Father, I don't have no means of transportation. You know, how am I going to leave this town? You know, he said, don't worry about that. It's about 2 or 3 days after that, I've said that to him. He sent this guy to me that knew how to ride freight trains. So I was like, this will be a new experience. You know, I can get out here and ride these freight trains and see what's going on. You know, so I did. And we was sleeping right by the tracks, waiting on a train to come slow enough so we can get on and go on about our business. But lo and behold, here comes a train coming through there about 10 miles an hour. He said, no, you don't want to grab that one, because if you try to reach out and grab the ladder, it's going to yank something off. So he said, no, you don't want to grab that one. So we let it go on by. Another hour later, we sitting out there in the hot sun waiting on another train to come by. Here comes one about 5 miles an hour. This is good. Yeah, let's go get on this one. So I picked up my things and my blanket and everything and my bag and started to run in. Didn't know my blanket was hanging down the hill over by my leg and there. So then I just kept on running and I grabbed a hold of the ladder of the train. And it seemed like the devil just was against me, didn't want me to leave that town of Atlanta. As soon as I grabbed that ladder, that train picked up speed. And I was trying to pull myself up on the ladder. And when I took a step, my blanket was wrapped around my foot. And I slipped, you know, and my foot came off. And I'm holding on to this thing, just constantly picking up speed. We get down the track a little ways. I'm going, Father, please don't let me go like this, because I see my legs going up under where, you know, they can get cut. All this could be gone. I could be cut in half, dead, and, you know, gone just like that. So then he turned around, and the further we got down the track, I was constantly praying this prayer, please, Father, don't let me go like this. It seemed like the God and the devil were fighting against each other, one pushing me under, the other one pulling me out from under. And then after that, I guess the strength of the other guy, because he said when he caught up to me, when I finally let that thing go, because God, it's like a big hand reached up under there and pulled me out from under there. As soon as my legs cleared the rails, I let the train go. Go on about your business. That still beats. The devil works in mysterious ways also. He'll get you if you want to. But I was trying to show my strength in God that he wasn't going to get me that day. He wasn't going to mess with me that day. So then my friend caught up to me, pushed my head down, because the ladders from the train were still going by. He said, man, you could have crushed your head. It could have crushed your head. So either way it went, I could have died that day. But by the grace of God, I lived. He told me, he said, I was running down the track saying, Father, please don't let him die like that. Please don't let him die like that. And I said, you know what? We must have been praying that at the same time. I said, because after that, it's like a big hand just reached up under there and pulled me out of money. I let that train go. You know, afterwards, you know, it became a little dark after that experience of mine. And we finally got on the train going all down through the bayou. It's beautiful out there. You'll be amazed of how beautiful it is on the backside. Everybody see the front side. Nobody sees the backside of how beautiful it is back there going through the bayou of Louisiana and all that good stuff. It is beautiful out there. God shows you things also, just how beautiful his plan is for us. I mean, he made the Garden of Eden, even though it was corrupted. It became corrupted, you know, after what happened. But it still was beautiful, just like the things that are going on in the world today. It's still beautiful. It's us the one that makes it ugly. I mean, it's time for the human race to wake up, if they are. Just like I hear a lot of people on television talking about, we need to have a worldwide prayer section. Now, how easy is that? How easy is it to say that we need a worldwide praying section amongst a whole bunch of people who just don't care? The way I stay at in Blytheville, Arkansas, you got people running around there like crazy. I have to depend on God every day. When I wake up, when I walk out of where I'm standing, I have to say, Father, please be with me. I don't know what's going to happen. My message to y'all is, I don't care where you go, ask God to protect you, and he will. Ask them to be with you, and he's going to be there for you everywhere that you go. Only thing you got to do is ask him. A lot of people don't even know how to ask him. They think they're too big to ask him anything. But when they get in a certain situation, you can call on him all the time then. Why wait till you're going through something bad to call on? Why not, when you're doing good, call on him for something? Because he's the one, if it wasn't for him, you wouldn't have woke up this morning. He wouldn't have put that food in front of you to eat to give you strength. Like back in the days of Moses, when they as much stuff as them people did, God still was so humble and sweet to those people. He still blessed them with food, water, everything, and they still weren't satisfied. So he made them wander around 40 years for their disobedience. And it just doesn't make no sense to me. Why do we have to wait until we go through something bad in order for us to call on God? And then if he don't answer us when we want him to, we ain't satisfied then. We ain't satisfied at all. We just calling on him, and you didn't answer my prayer. Wait a minute. There's work that you got to do. You do something for me, I'll do something for you. It's like you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You take one step, I'll take two. He's doing more for you than you doing for yourself. God loves us all regardless, because he said he make the sun to shine on the just and unjust, the believers and unbelievers. He makes the sun shine. So he got to have love for all of us, no matter what we go through, no matter how bad we do God. He's still there for us. Patience. Isaiah 40:31 states that those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. You trust in the Lord, I'm sure that he's giving you strength to overcome boundaries that you didn't even think that you could jump over, leap over, step over, whatever it is that you wanted to do with it. I'm sure that he's giving you strength, because most people say, when I'm scared, I can jump over this. I can jump over that. Yeah, I bet you can, because you're trying to get away from whatever is messing with you or whatever is bothering you. Because when I was coming along, even like when I was in my hometown in Atlanta, I was we had this room in our house. And it seemed like something was disturbing in one of the rooms. Everyone who slept in that room, they could sense an evil presence in that room. And I was sleeping in that room one time, and it's hot like it is now, 80 to 90, 100 degree weather. So I went to sleep in the room, and you know I could blow smoke out of my mouth because of how cold it was in that room, as hot as it was outside. So I knew then, you know, trying to wake up and everything, and I couldn't. And my sister, she was more into God at that time than I was. She said the devil was riding your back, trying to keep you from waking up and everything. She said the only way you can is if you call on the name of Jesus, he'll flee. I didn't know nothing about these type of things when I was there at that age. Here I am. I could hardly breathe. I couldn't do anything. Just lay there like I'm in a coma. But I was thankful to God that when I did learn how to call on his name, even in my sleep, that he answered my prayers. He'll answer your prayer anytime. That's why he say ask. I'm always stressing the point of asking. He said, asking ye shall receive, seeking ye shall find, knocking the door shall be opened unto you. I take it up like this. The first three letters of each of those sentences spell out the word ask. The only thing he's doing is saying, just ask me and I deliver. We all have work to do in God. We can't just ask him to do something for us and then don't show him that we love him by doing something for him. Because even Jesus said, if you cannot confess me before my Father, which is in heaven, if you cannot confess me before man, then I can't confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. It's only fair. It is only fair. These are the messages that I take to the people out here in the street. I write them. Sometimes, over my walks and everything, I've been in places like in drug areas and everything, you know. And, you know, me going up in those places, you know, is like going into the lion's den. Anything can happen to you. Just like Daniel, he was in the lion's den. They throw him in the lion's den. Nebuchadnezzar come to him and say, Daniel, I'm still. And he said, yes, I'm here laying with the lions in the den. Yes, I'm still here. It's the same thing in those drug houses that I've been in to talk to people about changing their lives. When I was in Memphis, Tennessee, each and every one of those houses that I went in, after I'd been in there for a while and then got people to try to see the light or anything, they changed their lifestyle. They started doing like God asked them to do. They start shutting them drug houses down. Even in Blytheville, Arkansas, I did the same thing. It's not easy for one man to do it, but it is. It's all right with me because I love doing God's work. I love doing his work because he brought me a mighty long ways. I could have been dead 9 times over. But because of him, I'm here today standing before you people, the congregation I call my family now, because I love this church. Like I said, when I first came to this church, I could feel the love, even though it's not that large. You can feel the love of the people that makes it feel like all the pews are filled. All of them are filled. Thank you, Brother Ray. For he's a seeker. We've sought a lot together, but, you know, that's another story. As I go on with patience, he says also in Habakkuk, 2nd chapter, 3rd verse, this vision is for a future time. Vision that we see now is for a future time. It described the end and it will be fulfilled. We're on our way. We're on our way. He said it will be fulfilled. So, if he said it, who am I to knock? It's his word. Who am I to knock what God says? God is full of love. God is number one. And like I said, if we want to be closer to God, we got to learn how to have patience. We can't sit up and think just because we fell on our knee. I mean, you've been out there doing corrupted things all your life. And just because you fell on your knee that one time, you think he's going to answer you? You got to keep on doing this. You can't just do it one time and he answer your prayer maybe a month or two later. And then you don't want to do it anymore. People are turning against God because of the, like they say, the false prophets that are in the world. These people that are going around preaching the wrong things. I mean, they sound good. They sound good, but no, they're not. They're just blind leading the blind. And where would the blind fall into the ditch? We have to stop letting others tell us how we should do things when God is right there trying to tell us the right way of doing everything. We have to stop this because the devil is working far more harder than God has ever worked. I mean, the devil has the majority of the people in the world. He really does. Because if it wasn't wound earth like when I was younger and everything, I told my sister, I said, you know what, and excuse me, ladies, but I did say this. I said, it's going to get so bad. And I was just like I said, 11, 12 years old. And I said, this is like God gave me this to me to say to my sister at that time. They're going to have women on TV almost naked. I was just 11, 12 years old doing this. How am I supposed to know this? It was only him telling me, to deliver this to my sister, that these are warnings. These are signs to everybody that God's word works. God is real. God doesn't take no wooden nickels. He don't take no prisoners. He loves us all. He loves us all. He don't love no one more than he loved the next person. And if we continue to show him being here, that we love him also. This church, just like me and the pastor one time, Rakia was sitting and talking and everything about, you know, the pews being full sometimes. As long as we keep doing our work, doing our fair share, these pews will be filled. Full of people with love and kindness and understanding like the people I've met before me right now. I love this church. I will continue to love this church. My message is short right now. Right now it's short, but as it goes on, it will get longer and longer. I'm not here to take up a whole bunch of time. I'm just here to say, Charles love y'all also, because y'all showed me love first. It's just like, God, I love you, Father, because you first loved me. You love me when I didn't even love myself. You love me when I wasn't even thinking about myself. You were showing me love. It's like footprints in the sand. I hear a lot of people saying the same thing that guy said. Well, where were you? I only see one print in the sand. Well, where were you? Well, you know, I'm the one that really carried you across that desert. That's what God was letting them know. You couldn't get across it without me. I'm the one carried you across that desert. I love God, y'all. I love the church. I want the church to continue to prosper and grow. And I be needing your strength sometimes, you know, because like I said, where I live at is horrible. But I put it in God's hand every day. Every day I wake up, I thank God for another day. And because he didn't have to wake us up this day. He didn't have to wake us up. So I love y'all. Peace be unto y'all. And may we continue this. May we continue on with this. Give the pastor a little rest because he does such a hard job. He does real good, and I love him. I love him. I love him to the utmost. I thank y'all for listening to my message right now. But like I said, I'm going to have many more messages coming. It's just right now, I'm just beginning again. I'm starting all over again from where I was before. See, I'm normally out there in the streets preaching the word. See, it's a difference when you're in the church than it is out there in the streets. It's a difference. So, you know, I'm learning how to get back in the church preaching the word, teaching the word of God to people. Pray my strength in God, and peace be unto y'all. I thank you.
Thank Brother Charles for bringing that message, and we're going to really look forward to what he has in the future as God uses him both in and out of the church. And obviously he's had the call of God on his life for sometimes. So God has different gifts, different ways to use us, and He can continue to use Brother Charles as He has in the past and bring new things His way. So we know that God has good things for him. So we'll look forward to next Sabbath, a week from today, us having lunch together across the street after the service. And we'll look forward to June's message to us. Did somebody say something? Do what? Oh, hers will be shorter? I don't know. I know there's really good things coming our way, and we look forward to the rest of the speakers for the month. Does anybody else have any comment before we're dismissed? I want to wish everybody a great Shabbat Shalom for today, and that is in short, just may God be with you on the rest of this blessed Sabbath day that He's brought to us, and may His blessings flow, and may we feel His Holy Spirit both in this day and working in our lives and in all the days to come. So we want to all stand at this time, and let's read the blessing of Yahweh to us and us to each other. Let's read this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Amen. Bow with me in prayer.